You're listening to Meld Men, Stories from the Journey. Right now, somewhere out there, a man is stepping into the unknown, facing his pain or the edge of his success. He's breaking through his barriers, shedding the armor he was told to wear, and choosing vulnerability over silence. This podcast is about that moment, the turning point where real transformation begins.
Hi, I'm Owen Marcus, and welcome to our podcast for Meld, Meld Men, Stories from the Journey. This is a long podcast in the making. You could say it's really from 30 years of really me falling into this work, which I'll talk more about in a few minutes, and into three iterations of businesses and where we're now with Meld. And we're here to really bring you the stories of men in the journeys of finding who they are and how they can not only succeed in life, but connect to something bigger than themselves and also to the people that they really care about. Because these are skills that very few men have ever had talked to them or had an opportunity to develop. So we want to, through this podcast, give you a taste of what is possible when men, you know, lean into their own journey to discover themselves and discover connections that maybe they never had with others. And so, I want to introduce Tim Lee, who is our host for these podcasts. And he is a man that has been involved in this work for a while. And I want him to share a bit of his journey to what brought him here and why he has this passion for bringing men into their journeys. So, Tim, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Owen. Yes, I can. That's what I'm here for. I guess, you know, talking of journeys, you may already have spotted I have an accent. You know, I'm English, an Englishman living abroad here in upstate New York, been here for 25 years. And what brought me to the States was a woman I followed who was to become my first wife to New York to be with her. And needless to say, that marriage didn't last, unfortunately. In the process of that relationship coming to an end, I had the rude awakening that, in fact, I wasn't the only sane person in the world and everybody else was crazy, that maybe, just maybe, occasionally, I was a little bit crazy myself. And once that idea got in under my skin, I started to see where things weren't really matching up to what I hoped things would be, or what I dreamed things would be, or what I really felt things could be. You know, nothing was really hitting the mark. It was just a bit like, well, that wasn't quite what.
Can you give us like one thing that was sort of off the mark that was?
Well, I mean, number one, my marriage, you know, my relationship. I moved across the oceans to be with this woman. You know, there was love there. There was intention, but it wasn't enough. There wasn't connection. There wasn't true communication, you know. I was still hiding as an Englishman, you know. Also had a rude awakening moving to America. We do things very differently in Europe. So yeah, you know, it became clear that I had a lot to learn, that I had a long way to go if I wanted to really be with people, if I wanted to really, yeah, you know, be in community. I mean, either individually with, you know, a loved one or just more generally. And part of that process was, and this I got from being with groups of men, is learning to recognize some of the sort of feelings that I had before I even could name them as feelings. Like I'm lonely, you know, like this sort of unease that became, you know, I couldn't ignore it anymore, is loneliness. And turns out a lot of men feel the same way. And it doesn't have to.
How did you experience that? How did you come to that realization, Tim, you know, being with other men or being in these men's groups? What was the trigger?
The trigger was seeing myself in other men. You know, I would, and this really came to a fore actually when I met you at an Everyman retreat just up the road from where I live. Seeing myself in these other men, you know, even though the details of their stories were often quite different, and some of them shockingly different, what was underneath all of it was very familiar. You know, stories of disconnect, of loneliness, of, and not loneliness in this sense like, oh, woe is me, I can't bear to be on my own, but just like, why am I doing everything on my own? Like, why is it that I feel like I have to do everything and carry everything and process everything entirely on my own when there's all these fabulous people around me, or people who care about me, people who love me, people who inspire me, yet still I insist on, you know, on doing it all for myself. And sometimes that can be a positive, but when it, certainly when it comes to being in relationship with other people and people that you care about, it's not really a positive thing.
It's hard for them to relate to you when you're overly self-reliant, and I know that one. And right. I guess you brought up a very good point. We often see things, at least first, in other people, and then particularly if the environment's safe, we can sort of slow down and open up to the fact that, oh, maybe I'm a little like this guy, even though, you know, he can outwardly be so much different than me. But if I really get honest and, you know, I can slow down and feel safe enough to do that, oh, I see how I'm being like him and I see how I'm struggling in an analogous way.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, you know, really it was like the sort of, you know, the crumbling of my first marriage and at least being aware enough that I didn't want that to happen again. You know, it was miserable. It was miserable. You know, it was the right thing to do at the end. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to repeat any of this. Like, I want something more. And actually a friend of mine had heard of Everyman and had mentioned it. And I just happened to Google it, and lo and behold, there was a retreat coming up, you know, and I was like, okay, I'm in. And I remember I had this moment, you were with the whole group, and you're like, right, who wants to work to, you know, a group of 50 or 60 men, I forget. And I had no idea what you were talking about. And I stood up. I was like, I want to work. And I was like, what am I doing? You know, because I had no idea what you meant. And I had no idea what I had to work on. But I knew that, like, there was something. And I was like, yes, I'm in. And it turns out you worked with another guy. And it was incredible to watch and experience and just feel so much of what he was going through was what I've been going through. And that was really the moment where I was like, wow, there's really something here. And since, yeah, it's just been ongoing, you know, it's ongoing and you peel back the layers and you see more and more of yourself in other men and they see more of themselves in you. And it's like a positive feedback, you know, it enriches your life. I feel softer, I feel more curious, I feel more free now that I'm less certain about everything. Now I realize that I don't have all the answers, that I don't have to be right about everything. And with that comes an enormous sense of freedom.
Well, I also know that your relationship now is much different than the one you used to have because of how you're showing up.
Well, I mean, it still exists, number one. You know, relationships are never easy, but, you know, I'm in it. I'm in it. You know, I'm not down the pub or got my face, you know, in my laptop or all the other things that we do to avoid it. You know, I'm in it. And you know, thank goodness.
Well, and then thank goodness that, you know, you're not only in it, but you're, you know, you've volunteered to take on this project of, you know, speaking to other men about their journey and, you know, what brought them into a place of, all right, you know, I'm a consistent variable in my life. And if my life is going to change, it's probably something I need to do with myself. And then for not every man that we're going to be interviewing, but for many of them, it was finding other men to do it with. And that's something in this culture that I certainly grew up believing that that was something you would avoid rather than something you'd go to.
Totally, yeah. Well, this seems like a great opportunity to turn the tables. Now that I am the official host of this podcast, Owen, what brought you to men's work? You know, how I know a little of your background, and I know that things were never, weren't very easy for you when you were a younger man.
Yeah, short story is, you know, I struggled in elementary school. I later found out in graduate school that I had dyslexia and then later Asperger syndrome. And so 50 years ago when I was in Boulder, Colorado in the late 70s, I, through different coincidences, ended up spending 4 years there, which was sort of like graduate school, studying all these somatic therapies, body psychotherapies, body physical therapies that were interfacing with the emotions, and really got into it. It changed my life and moved down to Scottsdale or Phoenix, Arizona, and ended up creating an integrated medical clinic. So I really enjoyed that. Ended up, you know, going from not having any money or any knowing anyone in the city to having the biggest practice in the country. So that was really successful. But I started to realize subtly and consistently that my relationships with women just weren't succeeding in the level I wanted them to succeed at. I mean, they weren't bad, probably better than average, but they weren't fulfilling. They weren't fulfilling for me, and they weren't fulfilling for the women. And consequently, I had to get honest or sober to the fact that I was a consistent variable and I needed to change. And what really was the final catalyst was, I remember sitting on my couch with this woman I was with, and she was being very kind and patient. And she kept on saying, "Owen, I don't feel you." And I, in my very intellectual way, would not argue with her, but explain to her all the reasons why she should feel me and how I was being emotional. And I was using all these emotional words, and, you know, and here's the proof that I'm emotional. And impatiently she said, "Owen, I still don't feel you." And that went on for several minutes, and suddenly the light went off and I really understood what she was saying. And yeah, she wasn't feeling me because I wasn't feeling me. I wasn't connected to my emotional experience or even my physical experience. I was connected to my head and doing the thing that we often do as guys, using all these emotional words and analysis, judgments, fixing, I mean, all the things that we often do that we think is emotional, but really isn't. And our partners are just getting frustrated. And in this case, she wasn't, which was great because it allowed me to feel safe where I could feel that I was really the problem. So that was good. What I did not know was how to fix it. Because, you know, we're as guys, we have a problem. Oh, we have a problem. We want to fix it. Be it the problem with someone else or a problem with ourselves. And I started to realize this was a little more complicated than a quick fix. And then I go, well, maybe I should work with men. And I go, I don't want to do that. That's silly. That's stupid. That's new age. You know, men don't work, you know, do emotional work or don't do emotional work.
Where did that idea come from? Just out of nowhere.
I think it was in the zeitgeist, you know, how I grew up. It was like the water was swimming in. It was not that anyone told me. It was my father wasn't really macho. He might have been disconnected, but he wasn't macho. But yeah, it was like they'll often say, that's what my friends, my peers would tell me as a kid and maybe even a young man, and what I would tell others. So that was my programming. And then I realized that's what it was, my programming. So I go, all right, I have resistance here. So maybe that resistance is telling me some. So I did some due diligence, found a training to do, to set me up to do a men's group. So I started my first men's group in 1995 out of my clinic. And honestly, it was mediocre, but there was still something there that intrigued me to do another. And then the next 10 years, I did several different men's groups. And then in 2005, I said, all right, I've done about all I can do with this traditional model of men's groups, and something's missing here. And I think I might have a sense of what that is because of my training in the somatic fields and my working with people clinically. I said, all right, I'm going to change the model, spend a weekend coming up with a new model, asked 11 guys. They all said yes. I said, oh, hell, I got to show up now. So I, you know, I created a new protocol, and that group, Sandpoint Men's Group up in North Idaho, is going strong to this day. We've had over 500 guys in this group, a documentary film done on this work, over 60 guys currently in the group, five groups, maybe it's six now. And one of those groups is my group, which is a Zoom group from some of the expats that have moved out of Sandpoint. And so this work was really the catalyst and the foundation of three companies. First, when I started, and then with Every Man, I started with a few other guys, where I brought all this technology and created all the programs and the retreats. And now we took all that with the key guys and started the Meld, and we've been doing this for a good year and a half, really honing this method of working with men through their bodies and through the connection that we naturally create when we feel safe.
So you've done some great work, obviously, but how has it impacted you personally? You know, I mean, beyond, you know, what is your, you know, career at this point, but, you know, I happen to know that you're sort of, you know, do have a great relationship with your partner, but, you know, when did that change? How did that change?
Well, it's changed over those 30 years. It was a gradual process. I've had a few partners in the course of those 30 years. Dolly and I have been together for coming on 10 years. probably one of the ways that in a specific way is unique for me because my Asperger's, and you know, one of the phenomena of Asperger's is that we are known to be emotionally disconnected. I half teasingly say that I think most men have some version of emotional Asperger's. I think maybe because of stress and trauma, but particularly the culture we've grown up in, we've all been disconnected. I was just more disconnected than most. So what the whole process of being with men has taught me is how to connect to myself so I could be more present and available and just more connected to others, including my partners, when I would connect to them. And so what it's really taught me by practicing every week, it's like literally every week for 30 years, and certainly for the last 20 years with this current group, you know, I've been showing up every Wednesday night, supporting men and being supported by men and having a safe place to, you know, see that I was not alone, see that I was not the only one, see that my belief that I wasn't good enough is also a shared belief, and that collectively we can heal each other first by seeing that we're a lot alike, seeing myself and other men, and having those men support me. And one of the great things about the work we do, be it, you know, a group or a training, is we have a safe place to not only see and learn, but to practice these skills. And that's key. We need, you know, I need to practice these skills. And as someone that started all these groups, it was more practice, maybe more work for me because, you know, as guys, we'd often challenge each other. So I'd get challenged because I was sort of this pseudo authority figure, which was a huge growth experience for me to, you know, stand in my own experience, stay vulnerable, and still assert myself for what I felt was right for the group and maybe even another man.
Mm. And has anyone sat you down and said, Owen, I don't feel you recently?
Not recently, but they have maybe in the last year in my group. And Yeah, and Dahlia, my partner, has certainly. We are sort of the opposites, which is usually good and sometimes maybe not good. I tend to be more the introvert on my own. She is much more the extrovert. She comes from Israel. She grew up in a kibbutz. She grew up, you know, in a war, and now they have their ongoing war. So she's a bit of a fighter. So we've had, we could say, heated debates or arguments where it might have started with her not feeling that she wasn't feeling me and me saying whatever. And so I don't hold back. She doesn't hold back. But what's great is that, you know, we're able to go through that cycle and reconnect. And one of the things that we often do is we do trainings for couples because she's a couples therapist. So we do trainings and retreats in and outside this country. And that's a great opportunity for me to see men, not only men to men, like we're talking about in our groups or training, but to see men with other, with their couples, with their partners. And I learned a tremendous amount about that, and particularly how even to this day, I still find myself getting into the fix-it mode or the intellectual mode when Dahlia wants me in the emotional mode. And that's often what triggers her upset and my disconnection.
Right, yeah. Well, it just, you know, it just goes to illustrate again that this is really an ongoing process and a practice. And the benefits of having a group of men to hold you accountable, you know, week after week after week, or month after month even, is you know, palpable, you know, that we need that because our programming is deep, because the culture is, you know, slanted against us. And yeah, just like coming to it again, you know, is definitely part of it. Owen, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to other men about their journeys. Thank you for being the first guest, I guess. Is there any parting words that you want to say before we're done?
I would just invite men and women to listen to these podcasts. They're going to be short, and they're going to be with men just really telling their stories. And so that, as Tim was saying, that we get to experience vicariously this side of men that we don't usually get, that's hidden within all of us. And it really gives men hope that, oh, I'm not alone, and it's not that, you know, I'm more messed up than anyone else, which is one of the biggest things I realized in my first meeting in my first group, was that, oh, we're all screwed up. And when we have that realization, it's actually a great release for us. And so hopefully that will be a catalyst for a lot of guys to, you know, start their journey. And, you know, we're here to support you if you want us.
Beautiful. All right, Marcus, thank you. And stay tuned for Meld, Stories from the Journey.
We want you to remember something. Your growth journey is never linear, never perfect, and never complete. Each step, each vulnerability, each moment of courage matters. You've been listening to Meld Men, Stories from the Journey, where we believe that true strength isn't about being invincible, but about being real.